And first, I want to introduce myself. My name is Cindy, and I am the administrative and program assistant here. And my husband and two children and I moved to Holden last August, August 23rd, and we'll be here for 2 years. And my husband is the public works manager. We have a daughter, Casey, who's 16, and a son, Corey, who's 13. And this is where we live. Not a bad place to live. The book that this is totally plagiarized from, teachers don't call themselves plagiarists, they call themselves good resource finders. So I would really recommend Sybil Macbeth's book, and they do have it in the bookstore if you want to, if you'd like to have a copy of it. Because we'll be doing some stuff today, and then tomorrow we're going to use her practice of praying through scripture. And so, you know, if you want to come back tomorrow, we will be doing something different tomorrow than what we did today. Okay, and we're going to start with, she has a list of reasons why you might want to read this book. If any of these dilemmas describe your efforts in prayer at prayer, then you and I stand on some common shaky ground. Number one, you make a list of the people for whom you want to pray and then don't know what to pray for. You can't sit still long enough to get past the Our Father or Hello God step. Your prayers feel more like a list for Santa Claus than a love letter to God. You fumble for the right words and deem the effort hopeless. You dump the contents of your heart and mind on God and then wish you hadn't. You turn to a prayer book or the Bible for solace and guidance and then fail to find the verse that describes your immediate need. Your prayers feel too puny, too self-centered, too phony, or just somehow inadequate. You're bored with the same old prayers that you said since kindergarten. You ask that God's will be done, then cross your fingers and hope you can bear the results. I like that. You promise to pray for others and then forget who they are. You can't wait for your prayer time to be over and done with. You start to pray and realize that you're thinking about paying the bills. Praying for others feels like checking off errands on a to-do list. Your spirit and body reach a place of calm and stillness in prayer, and then you fall asleep. You want to like the act of praying, but it is more often obligation and drudgery than joy. And you're sure that everyone you know is a better and more effective prayer than you are. What of those, can any of you relate to any of those? And if so, which ones?
All of you know. Yeah.
Any in particular that stand out? The
sleep one.
Yeah, losing focus too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The making the list or grocery list or whatever. Whoops. Where was I?
Yeah, and the Santa list too.
This is
yeah.
what I want, what I need. I like praying thy will be done and then crossing your fingers.
Yeah. Afraid of what
Hope that you can endure the results.
Yeah, like the, you know, the line, don't ever ask God for patience, he might give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do sometimes. I do feel like that's a list kind of thing. Like you're telling God how you want it and when you want it and where you want it. And it's like, wait a minute, this is not. I don't think this is right.
Yeah. Missing some of that communication.
Yeah.
Two-way communication
right.
aspect of prayer. Yeah. Anything else? I think the list one is the big one for me. That my mind just goes to the to-do list, and what am I supposed to do, and really hard for me to shut my brain off enough, if that makes sense, to allow it to pray, which sounds
totally
funny, but because you want your brain, but you don't in some ways too when you pray. So praying in color, I like this description, is an active, meditative, playful prayer practice. And just all of the different words, active, it's something that's, it's not set sitting in passive, it's actually doing something. But meditative, so you're also, I think, receiving in prayer. Playful, I'm a girl who loves to play. And then prayer practice, I love the double meaning of that word. To use the double meaning of that word in this sense, you know, practice as something that you do, you know, well, I have a practice of da 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 da, but it's also something that means you're practicing, you're trying it, you're like practicing piano,
mm-hmm.
Something that you do over and over again to get better at. So I like that. I really like that description. And then she says it is both process and product. The process involves a re-entry into the childlike world of coloring and improvising. The product is a colorful design or drawing that is a visual reminder of the time spent in prayer. And I almost stopped then when I got the book. I love the way she writes this book. Anyway, now, before you slam this book shut with a panicky feeling that this is an exercise for artists, please wait, because mm-hmm. I am not an artist. I cannot draw worth a stick or anything. And she says, I cannot draw a cat or a dog. This practice requires no skill or anything else for that matter. Throughout my years in school, C's in art were the blemish on an otherwise rosy-faced and squeaky clean report card. My artist's mother and grandmother could only sigh and wonder what had gone awry in the tossing of the genetic salad. But in spite of artistic deficiencies, I have always loved color. The stadium seating of the 48 crayons in the Crayola box, the sweet smell of paper and wax, and the feel of the thin cylinders rolling around in my hand were an early experience of worship. A little altar was set before me with all those colors waiting to evangelize the world. So much potential for beauty and transformation. It seemed a terrible injustice that what I drew was so ugly. The irony and miracle for me is that now, in my adulthood, God has taken one of my passions, color, combined it with one of my inadequacies, drawing, added it to my antsy and improvisational personality and given me a new way to pray. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. That's 2 Corinthians 12:9. I think I have an inkling of what Paul felt when the Lord spoke those words to him. So, I repeat, no skill is required. If you are a visual or a kinesthetic learner, a distractible or impatient soul, a world-weary prayer, or just a person looking for a new way to pray, I hope you will find this practice helpful. If not, I hope it will simply jumpstart some new prayer ideas that work for you. So I was much, much relieved after I finished the chapter, because I could totally relate to loving color. I've always loved color. Worked in the craft cave 2 summers, and that was my favorite thing about the weaving room, was just the color and working with colors and designing warps and stuff. But I cannot, I can't draw. So you, I'm good at stick figures. And then she also talks about prayer popping versus intimate prayer. Prayer popping would be the, you know, wow, Lord, that's a great sunset. Thanks for getting me through this day. You know, just the kind of the postcard checking in type thing, which has its place. You know, this is not to say one is better than the other. But intimate prayer, I think, is what we all long for and want. And that's where the real connection is. And she talks about that intimate prayer really requires time after time after time. It's not... she talks about quality versus quantity, and that, you know, we like to say, oh, I have quality moments instead of quantity moments. And she said, really, prayer takes quantity. She related it to marriage, which I can relate to, that you know, if you say you're going to have quality time with your husband and it's just, you know, or your partner and it's just a small slice of your life, I think a good marriage requires, you know, I don't know, the lingering over breakfast or the, you know, just the time. And sometimes it really doesn't matter the quality. The time itself is more important. She also brought up the word intimate is the, I think it's the Latin root. Yeah, the Latin root is intime, I-N-T-I-M-E, which just by coincidence, it, the root is not, doesn't mean in time. But if you split I-N-T-I-M-E into two pieces, it's in time. And so, you know, just a way to remember that intimacy really does require time. Mm-hmm. Then the other thing, she had a friend that said, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly. And, you know, sometimes that's what practice mm-hmm. is about, is it, you know, it takes a, you do it poorly sometimes, and chances are if you do it enough, it, you know, you will get better. Mm-hmm. She also, or the other thing that I really related to was praying for others. I've always felt very uncomfortable saying, I'll keep you in my prayers, mm-hmm. knowing that that's a very hard thing to remember to do. And if I say that I'm going to pray for someone, I want to keep that commitment. And what we're going to practice today is praying for a person or a place or an issue or something, but, you know, thinking of intercessory prayer is what we're going to focus on today. She talks about worry, that worry is a starting place for prayer. It's not where you want to end, but sometimes worry is what gets us moving into prayer, and as long as that's what it does, then worry can be a good thing, but you don't want to get stuck there. You do want to get into the praying part of it. Getting started, there you don't need a lot of supplies to pray in color. You need paper. You know, the back of an envelope can work in a pinch. It doesn't have to be, you know, fancy art paper or something. Although, well, we'll get to that. Paper, pen, and colored pencils. And, you know, you can use crayons or something, or markers, or I've really enjoyed colored pencils. They're a little more forgiving, mm-hmm. And they look more artistic than a crayon does. I don't like markers just because they are so, yeah, and they're so dark, and I like the, yeah, and you can shade a little bit with pencils mm-hmm. and stuff, so that's been really fun for me. I have to read you a paragraph where I knew that this was a woman that I loved. Mm-hmm. Never met her. Because she talks about, you know, you might want to invest in a set of colored pencils or, you know, some supplies that are just for your praying in color. You don't have to. But this is where it was like, yes. You might ask, why do I have to spend money to pray? Or why can't I use crayons? The answers are, of course, you don't have to, and you can. But I can only testify to my experience. Having decent supplies, but not elegant or exotic ones, makes drawing more satisfying and aesthetically pleasing. If the cheap markers smear all over the paper, get all over my hands, and the result is ugly, I'm likely to give up. Crayons can work, but I'm not enough of an artist to manipulate them well. Those may seem like superficial and unspiritual reasons, but that's where I start. I'm distracted and unskilled, and I need a bit of gratification to stay on task. Buy the supplies you need to maintain your interest and focus. And it was like, oh, thank you. I don't have to feel guilty about buying colored pencils and stuff. So what I did, the artist in the village had recommended Dick Blick online. And so what I did was I went online and I got a set of 24. She recommends starting with 12, you know, the 12 disciples, or maybe 13 if you want to include Judas. But I wanted a whole set, and I like the little tin box and everything, so I got a set, and I like a smaller palette, so I bought a little, and I also wanted something that I could throw in a backpack, or, you know, so that it would be a little bit protected, so I bought a sketchbook, and this cool little sharpener that is, you know, was... again, was something that would be small and I could throw in a backpack, you know, if I'm going someplace or something like that. So, or take it on a hike or something like that if I wanted to do so. So that's what I did. I think that's all I was going to say about that. Okay. She recommends some things for preparation for prayer. Once you gather your supplies, you might want to say into prayer using one of the following ideas. Recite or read a passage from Scripture. One that seems applicable to this practice is Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. You can say it, she recommends saying it several times. Sing a verse or a favorite hymn. Or a verse of a favorite hymn. Sing a prayer. Say a prayer to gather the pieces of your body, mind, and spirit together. I like to just even say, "Lord, help me focus this," you know, and that seems to help. Just that little phrase, "Help me focus." Sit in your chair and breathe for a minute or two. Do a few minutes of exercise, stretch, reach to the sky, touch your toes, bend your knees, wiggle your hips, invite your body into prayer with you. Take several deep breaths, let out a noisy sigh after each one. With each exhale, release the to-do list. Mm-hmm. And if none of these ideas appeal, just pick up your pen, your markers, and begin to pray. And, you know, I suppose you could do all of them, but, you know, I'd say pick one and try different things. And what I do is, I have a daily devotional. I'm currently using one by Eugene Peterson, who wrote that, or translated the Message. The Message.
He was my in-law's pastor for a while.
Wow.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so I usually read that, and I don't pray in color. I journal as well, so I kind of go back and forth between, and a lot of times I'll a pray in color thing will go over a couple of days. I don't finish it in one sometimes, so you know, you kind of do what you want. And then just a couple more ideas before, or actually I think just one more idea before we actually start. Remember, this is an all-day prayer event. Drawing is only half the prayer. The other half is transporting the visual memories, either in your mind or on paper, so you can pray throughout the day. The images are the visual alarm clock or Sanctus bells that remind us to pray. And that's really kind of fun. This, didn't know this when I did it, but or when I bought it, but I take this and we'll set it up like that on the windowsill in my dining room. Mm-hmm. And so every time I walk by throughout the rest of that day, or, you know, I leave it up for a week, I see it again throughout the day. In my office, I have one hanging on the wall. You know, things like that that bring you back to the prayer throughout the day, so you can start to, you know, the verse, pray without, I think it's in Ephesians, pray without ceasing, that you can, that helps in that practice of prayer. So.
Well, I know for me, when I've done it, I don't even have to necessarily have the book remind me. It's actually taking the time to draw the picture, that picture continues to come to my mind throughout the day in a way that words don't. don't.
Yeah, you see the colors.
Yeah.
Or you can visualize the image again throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you see a color that reminds
mm-hmm.
you of the image and
mm-hmm.
yeah, and you're continuing to pray throughout the day. Okay, well, we are gonna get started, and I just grabbed the cardstock leftover stuff from by the copier, so grab a piece
mm-hmm.
of paper.
Just one?
Yep, you just need one. And then here's a thin Sharpie. I like a solid, dark line to begin with, so, and you'll probably need a book or something hard. Let me go grab a few hymnals so you have something to draw on.
And it's this one kind of goes back and forth, but usually, I mean, I sometimes this is right and it's then.
So sometimes it's.
Oh, okay.
Anybody else need a hard surface?
I feel like I can't wait to get going. Hurry, Tim.
I gotta get ready too.
I have this blank sheet of paper and a pen that
just
wants
calling
to
you. It's
yeah.
calling you. Okay, so first thing you're gonna do, draw a shape on the page. A triangle, trapezoid, squiggly line, or an imperfect circle. Any kind of a shape. And write the name of the person or place or issue that you want to pray. Write it either in the shape or near the shape. Then start adding some detail to the drawing. This might be lines, dots, circles, zigzags, whatever your hand wants to do. And continue to enhance the drawing. Think of each stroke and each moment as time that you spend with the person and with God in prayer. Your image feels finished, but once it does, you're going to add color to the picture. Choose colors that will stay in your memory that you particularly like or that remind you of the person or place for whom you're praying. And here's a basket of colored pencils.
Well, I'll share about 2 months ago, my sister got diagnosed with breast cancer, and we haven't had any of that in our family, and so it's kind of been a, you know, we're still all trying to figure it all out, but she is early stages. It's a good prognosis in the sense of, anyway. But she's had a lumpectomy, and but her body has had a reaction to some of the dye they had used and so forth and everything, and so her wound is not healing back up and like they want it, and so she's had to doctor it a lot, and so it's just a long kind of drawn out process, so now they can't start the radiation or anything until after she heals. Mm-hmm. So I guess and of course I'm thinking of her often and trying to keep her in thought and with prayer. And so I kind of started out with, I don't know what I did, but anyway, my thought was the wound, mm-hmm. and that putting colors on it that would be like healing colors, mm-hmm. because what is happening now is that the skin is not healing itself. And then I had arrows going in, meaning, you know, closing that gap up, I guess, and then arrows going out at the same time to take away the cancerous material. And then I put color, because, you know, color, the warmth and the feelings and so forth and so on. So, and now it almost looks like feathers, and then it started to look like maybe a dream catcher thing. I don't know. It's just interesting as you just start drawing things, just take you. And then I have her name. Her name is Marcia. And she's always been an anchor in our family, so I put a little anchor and a star because she brings light to many people. And then I just start putting that she's surrounded. I guess I didn't even think about that. I was just thinking hearts at first, just because she has a big heart and she touches many people's hearts. She's a nurse. And then I just kind of did different kinds of hearts to represent all the different people that she touches, their hearts, and hopefully now their hearts can be part of the healing process around her. So anyway, since it's very healing to do that, because it allows you to express things that maybe you can't verbalize.
Well, that you're not thinking, I don't know, there's something about the mind-body thing that allows things to come out that you wouldn't think of. Yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my process this morning.
Mm-hmm. I'll share. I drew kind of a tree with leaves because the original name I put on here was Steve. He's like my first cousin once removed or whatever. He's my dad's cousin. And when he was young, he had leukemia. And the treatment, they said, like, it's a pretty good chance that he'll get cancer again. And just recently, like a month ago, not even, they found cancer somewhere, and then they kept looking, and they found it. It was like pretty much everywhere. So it spread really fast, and it's kind of just a waiting process now. So trees and nature have always been kind of like a healing thing for me. So.
A new life.
Yeah. Cancer must be the.
Just praying over here.
The theme of the day, because that's what the first person that popped into my head was a Forest Service person that has a recurrence of cancer, and so then as I started out with the green, thinking of new life, green color, and then blue, kind of healing waters, and then I did orange around the outsides for kind of a sun, I was thinking of a sunrise, a new day, and then the yellow inside, rays of sunshine, kind of warmth for her.
It's just so virulent, but I also put the cross, and I have tears coming out of the cross because that's part of the imagery that she and I have used as we've talked about, you know, God cries with us in the midst of all of this too. And she just joined the congregation, had been separated from the congregation for a long time, and knew she was dying and wanted to have a place to be connected. And it's been incredible in my short time there. Her faith is growing incredibly, and so at the top part of it, I just have, there's all these flowers and green vines, because her life right now, even though she's dying, is bringing life in the midst of tears to so many people in the congregation. So, it's kind of that mixture of the tears along with the hope and promise of life, and life in the midst of.
I also was thinking about a member of my congregation who is not fighting cancer, but just in her last days with old age. And I went to see her before I came here, knowing that I might not see her again.
Yeah.
And again, that as I was writing her name and putting all kinds of color around her name, because she is colorful and joyful and wonderfully crazy woman, knowing that my colleague, the other pastor at the church, could have already done her funeral while I was away, and I don't know that. And so I just put her name in a circle, and then smiley faces just kind of appeared all around it, because that's just who she is, and just kind of radiating color around her, but also color kind of coming in towards her from all of the people who care for her and love her, and hearts kind of out at the end of what she's sending out. She's a person who never sees you without telling you, God loves you and so do I. Mm-hmm. And so.
Well, everybody prayed for somebody else. I feel self-absorbed because I prayed for myself. And
no. Don't feel self-absorbed.
Yep. Yeah. Did they say something
yes.
about that?
She says.
It's probably a good thing. That means that you don't have anyone that's dying to pray for.
That's true.
Write your own name in the shape. Sometimes the first people who need prayers of intercession are ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And that's the last person sometimes we think about,
yeah.
too.
So don't feel badly, she says.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Well, I'm dating a guy, and so I prayed for our families as we just, the individuals in themselves, as well as how we are. So this is my crazy picture. And I thought it was really interesting. And I have a friend who analyzes pictures and helps explain why you draw, how you do. And because I saw it as this was us at the beginning, and this is kind of like the world around. And I had it where we were coming together, and then I don't know why, I just drew over it. But the world around us is real pretty. Us together is pretty black and white. So, I don't know what that means. I mean, is it saying that since I'm with him, life just is so much fun, blah, 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 and I guess we're still a question mark of what's gonna happen in our life, and God, you get to work it. And it originally started out being my kids and his kids and the two of us. And then it ended up having all these little tiny things. So I don't know what that's about. But, yeah. And blue is my favorite color. And I wanted to put blue at one point. But I was told, like, inside of me, no, blue doesn't belong on this page. So I thought, that's weird. And I hate the color orange. And orange appeared, and brown appeared, and I'm like, we need blue. And it's like, no, it's fine. So, that's it.
Something totally new.
Well, and I don't really like the inside part, and I want to just cut it out. So we're just
wiping it all over.
Yeah.
See where it goes happens over time. It could change.
Right. Yeah. It's a work
maybe
in progress.
You might add more to that.
I was just going to say, maybe there'll be a time in the future when you put color in the middle.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's that it is a question mark now. You don't know if it's part of you or part of the the world, if that's part of the world or not.
Very interesting.
Just a couple things to finish up. She talks about just some of the reasons we can think of that this doesn't work or I shouldn't do this or whatever. And then, but some of the reasons for doing it. She says, what I'm out to do is avoid the spiritual versus physical split between mind and body. This is particularly important for Christians. Friar Richard Rohr, a Franciscan and a priest, was the first person to verbalize for me the spiritual danger of the split. He said something to the effect that evil scores a great victory when we hate the flesh. If we hate the flesh, how can we possibly believe in the incarnation? Since by God's design, flesh was good enough for Jesus, we should stop hiding it in the basement when we invite God into our house in prayer. And so that idea that, and there is something in the physicalness of this that releases your brain to go, and your prayers to go to places that aren't always expected.
I thought was interesting as I drew, like I added other things or started to think, you know.
Yeah,
they kind of inspired me to move on, like what else? It started with a little heart and then it got bigger and bigger. You know, I started with a little sun and it kind of got bigger. Just things like that I think as your prayer develops, you know, either you make more lines or something, but maybe you, I don't know.
It takes you to into new places that you weren't thinking that's what you're going to pray about when you start.
Mm-hmm.
The most obvious negative voice against this particular prayer form is I can't draw. This voice demands competence in all things. If you can scribble or draw a lopsided shape, you can pray in color. Mm-hmm. Participation, not perfection, is the only requirement. People who are not writers keep journals, write emails, make shopping lists. We do these things for clarification, conversation, and communication, not to write a prize-winning piece of literature. Our goals for prayer are similar. We want communication and conversation with God. We want to clarify what's going on in our lives and seek guidance. And then, as I said, tomorrow we're going to talk about praying with scripture, using scripture as a jumping off point for our drawing. I did want to share a couple other ideas though. One of the things she had was thinking about doing a Lenten practice, and so I printed out a calendar for Lent and prayed for a different country every day during the 40, well actually I did it on Sundays too, so it was more than 40 days, but during the 40 days of Lent. And one of the things that came out of that was actually using the letters of the words to kind of be part of the drawing. So and anyway, so you could, I brought this so you could kind of see that idea. And then the other thing that I did, and that was an idea that she had that was a little different than, there was one day when I was reading in the Eugene Peterson that these four phrases really stuck out: incredible grace, defiant hope, dazzling desire, and courageous faithfulness. And so it doesn't even necessarily have to be a person or something that you're praying for, but so I took each of those and put them into a visual image as well. So anyway, thanks for coming. Enjoy your lunch. And go shopping.
So have you ever done this on an ongoing basis?
I've done it with the village on two different occasions. One I did on mountains. I was just feeling really overwhelmed about all the, we did these, you know, Thursday is hunger awareness.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So we have a simple meal at lunch, and in the wintertime, our worship of the day is at lunch on Thursdays because there's no bus. So we do it at lunchtime as part of the hunger awareness. And every week it was a new issue or problem that I was just feeling really overwhelmed by the problems of the world. And this Lenten calendar thing came out of that. And so I introduced this to everyone as one of those Thursday matins, and we talked about praying for countries or issues of the world that are, you know, seem so overwhelming. So we did that as a community, and then I did a Vespers using praying in color just a month or so ago. But I have never done it as a, I have been doing it as a personal practice, not a community practice,
yeah.
But that would be a really interesting.
How would you envision it as a?
As a group?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that they, or she talks about in the book is a youth group where they did a big, cute, like a poster-sized prayer together. And it ended up being a prick. One of the, after they finished it, one of the girls said, "Oh, that looks like a dragon."
Oh.
And so that became their prayer dragon. In fact, she's got a, there's a picture of it in here. So here's their prayer dragon.
Oh, wow.
What they did as a group. So, I mean, that would be one way to do it. Another way would be, you know, kind of an accountability thing. If you commit to meeting together and doing this together like we just did, you know, kind of almost a prayer and share group or something.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, that would be a neat way to, our women's group had a retreat, and what while we were there, we made, you know, those little flannel material that you can just cut on the end and you tie them together and you make a blanket.
Oh, yeah.
And we made like a lap blanket, but inside we cut out a piece of felt heart and put inside so that, and then we gave them to all the people in our congregation that we knew were going, needed extra prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, they one, she had to have her legs amputated because of diabetes. When she comes every Sunday, she has her little prayer blanket over on her lap. And it's a reminder of God's love and warmth. And but I can so see how, you know, you could put patches together like that on fabric and then just sew them together or tie them together and make a blanket and give them to various people. Maybe if you have a prayer group, you know, everybody can make a prayer shawl or a blanket and give to that person. So that they can warm, wrap themselves up in the prayers.
Project Linus, are you familiar with that? They make quilts for children who are very sick or going through traumatic, and you draw fabric squares. But I could see where, and they don't want them to be religious, but I could see where you could do the same thing for your congregation. Everybody gets a fabric square, and then you sew them into a quilt.